A new series on AMC has been getting a lot of buzz. Rubicon debuted earlier this month and garnered the highest ratings of any premiere in the network's history, more than even Mad Men or Breaking Bad. That network is on a roll.
Yeah,
isn't it? It really
is. More than Mad Men.
Rubicon focuses on the secretive operations of the fictional American Policy Institute in post-9/11 Lower Manhattan. The series stars James Badge Dale as Will Travers, a code breaker.
I like that word. Okay, what can the man do?
He can unravel any puzzle, but he can't come to peace with the tragedy of his life. Here's a clip.
Why is Will Travers so mopey?
He's not mopey. He's just introspective.
No, he walks around every day looking like his favorite cat just died.
Try wife and child. Try 9/11.
Okay. Henry Bromell is the executive producer of Rubicon. You may recognize his name from other shows he's written and produced, including Northern Exposure, I'll Fly Away, Homicide, Life in the Streets, and Chicago Hope, all of them good shows. He joins us to talk about Rubicon and how his family's interesting past makes him a good fit for the show. Henry, good to have you with us on the program.
Good to be here.
So your dad was a spy. What was that like?
Odd.
He was in the operations side.
The characters on our show are on the analysis side. So there's some differences. But basically, as a boy, my brother and I sensed that something was afoot. He wasn't quite like other dads, but we could not figure out how and why until finally he told us.
He didn't come home with keychains that said CIA on them, anything like that?
No. And when I asked him what he did at work, which was always in an embassy, where he had some obscure, untrue title, he would say something like, oh, I push paperclips around.
So when did you finally unravel, when did you break the code on your dad?
Code on my dad. I think he fessed up when I was about 14, as I remember, 13.
What was that like when you might have had the suspicions, but when you finally heard the confirmation, what was that like?
It was kind of exciting. It seemed very sort of daring and important. I think the way we all imagined it then was, that these guys were taking, risks and doing something noble and adventuresome for worthy purposes, which was basically to beat back the so-called communists.
So how much did your experience growing up in the embassies with your dad, the spy, inform Rubicon?
It seeps into it, I think, all the time, because I've always been fascinated by what that kind of work does to you as an individual, and also to your marriage and your relationships with your children and all that. The idea of keeping secrets, as we all know, we all keep secrets. We wouldn't have all our great novels and poems and movies and TV shows. So if you add that on top of that, if you add a person whose job is to keep secrets, it gets kind of interesting.
Now, go ahead, finish up.
No, that's it.
Well, now you said it in an interesting place. I suppose the predictable place would be CIA headquarters, Langley, right? Instead, you said it in Manhattan at this Policy Institute. What's the device there?
Well, the idea was that to kind of, by loosening up the location a little bit, taking it off what you'd expect, it would kind of free us up to imagine this place as an independent being. As it turns out, it's not. they basically have created something like API, but they put it in Washington, where they gathered post 9/11. They gathered the best and the brightest from a lot of different agencies and put them together in one place and said, we're not going to impede you with the biases of any particular agency. You guys are free. We're going to give you raw data, and you're going to say what the truth is.
Connect the dots, as they say, right?
Yeah, connect. That's the way we put it. I'm told by friends of mine in the intelligence world that that's not going well.
Oh, really? What's going on with that?
Well, the individual agencies like the CIA or the Defense Department or the State Department aren't playing fair. They're withholding information. They didn't send their best and the brightest necessarily. And, apparently they're having problems.
Well, that's kind of scary, isn't it? That after all that has transpired, there's still these jealousies and stovepipes and all the things that were in the run-up to 9/11.
Yep. It is. If you start to investigate, as I have, and poke around and read and interview some of these people, it's ridiculous. I mean, we have the same problems we had before 9/11. Now, some areas are improved. You know, communication is a little better. The FBI and the CIA at least know they shouldn't be doing that. there are individual guys and women who are not afraid to be more outspoken. But it's inherent in bureaucracy. And so, of course, for me as a writer, that's really interesting, and that gives us something to talk about.
You know, I get the sense that you embrace or are interested in conspiracy theories. True?
I find them dark holes I try not to go down myself personally, because usually they all sort of make sense, and I don't think they really do. But I definitely think in terms of politics and the way America works, there's a lot of what we could call conspiratorial behavior. You know, I mean, it's basically a group of people getting together and deciding to get what they want by means not, you know, always in the open, like lobbyists. I think it's deeply rooted in the way we all do business anyway.
Henry Brabell, who is the producer of Rubicon, it's on AMC. Thanks for your time.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.